even said good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's that for a call to worship? Anybody crazy about Jesus this morning? Oh, yeah. That's what I love. That's what I love to hear. God, we honor you today. We open our hearts in worship in one voice, God. We lift your name up high. You promised us that when we lift your name up high, that you would draw men and women, boys and girls to yourself. And God, that's our desire this morning, to seek you, to worship you as we bless your name. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. Open your heart. Fill this room with worship. Bless the name of the Most High God. Amen.
Name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm bound in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen.
Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name.
look in the back of the book. We win. We have. You got up this morning. Praise God, I've overcome.
We're here in our clothes. Praise God. We have three babies, and we woke up late this morning. Our alarm didn't go off. We woke up at 7:15, and we are still here 3 minutes earlier. That's the hand of God right there.
I'm not a morning person, and I have overcome. Let's do it again, Stephen. Ready? No! This is how we overcome.
With us. Every year, you know, it's our joy as a ministry to be able to share stories that I think really validate our work. You know, we believe that, you know, God has called us, and Jesus has made very clear, He's called us to go and to make disciples of all nations. And so that mandate is for us to not only just understand that, but also participate in that. And it's great for us to have stories and lives that have been touched and changed. And, you know, there's a side that people understand with Operation Christmas Child of children receiving shoeboxes. But what makes it more phenomenal are the children who receive the shoeboxes who come what we call full circle and become folks who are actually generating the giving of shoeboxes. Mm. And so that's Isabella's story. Isabella is a great friend of ours. I think she is one of our most dynamic and interesting presenters as far as just sharing her story across the U.S. And so you guys didn't come here to hear me speak. I want to give Isabella as much time to just share the significance of her story, not only how she's received boxes, but what she's doing to encourage people to also pack shoe boxes now.
Let's give Isabella McMillan a big welcome. Thank you for being here. Tell us about yourself. How about that?
Well, I guess what makes me most dynamic is that I speak funny.
Well, yeah, no.
I wasn't going to say that. But
that's all right. Yeah.
People just kind of get, I get their attention because I speak funny, and yeah. This is not a Southern accent.
Your accent is a little hard to pinpoint. Your accent's a little hard to pinpoint because it comes from different points of reference, right? I mean, different
points. That's correct. Yeah. I was born and raised in Romania, but I am by nationality Hungarian.
Okay.
So my mother tongue is Hungarian. So I don't speak like Romanian people. I kind of speak like Hungarian people that would speak English.
Yeah, we didn't think you were speaking much like a Romanian this morning, so okay. We kind of caught that. I understood
but
that.
But you kind of got the not Southern.
We got that part. Okay. Too.
Okay, so I was born and raised in Romania and under the communism. Uh-huh. And growing up under the communism was a completely different life. And just looking back at it, I'm glad now that I grew up under it as a child, not as a grown-up. Mm-hmm. Looking back, it's really hard to see the people who were grown-ups and had to deal with that mentally,
what was
going on. We were not free to worship, free to do anything that we wanted to do or talk, even on the street. So kind of just to give you a background a little bit so you understand why Operation Christmas Child meant so much to me, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I have a brother who's about 3 years older than me. And we were one of those kids that we had a key around our neck, and we would go to kindergarten. Starting when I was 3 years old, you have kindergarten when you are three, and then you have low level, and middle level, and high level kindergarten. So we had a key around our neck, and we had to go to kindergarten or school. My brother was going to school already, and then come home on our own and warm up our lunch and, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. behave until mom and dad got home. And right. we always did. Yeah. We always behaved.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we were those kind of kids, and just waiting for mom and dad to come home at 6 o'clock in the evening. Just that's just how life was for everybody. Mm-hmm. It was something very usual. So one day, my brother and I, we just kind of saw that the carpet was just funny a little bit, and we had kind of an area rug like this, but a little bit bigger. And we picked at it, and we picked it up, and underneath it, the tile was moving. So we pick at it and pick at it, and before we knew it, there was a hole in our floor. Mm. And in that hole in our floor, we found the Bible.
Whoa, how about that?
And we have never seen a Bible before. We did not know what a Bible was whatsoever. So we took it out, and we started reading it. I don't know if you ever just take the Bible in your hand and you start reading it as a storybook. You have no idea what it is. It's an exciting storybook.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, start from the very beginning, you know, with everything that Adam and Eve do. And yeah. it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we were reading this book, and we were very excited. And mom and dad came home, and we ran up to the door, and we were like, Mom, Dad, you won't believe what we found. And their faces just dropped.
Oh, wow.
And dad's finger came out. You know, he had this trouble finger, you know, when that came out, when you had this trouble. And he just said, put it back, and don't you ever take it out, and do not tell anybody what you have found in our house. And with that, he tucked it back, and we did not talk that night at all. So we knew it was serious.
Wow.
So, you know, like good children, what your children do when you tell them not to do something. So the following day,
this is where the behaving part kind of began to shift, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Gotcha.
It was disobedience that I think got honored.
Well, Gail, strike that from the CD, okay? From the we don't want people to hear that out of context.
This is why you have the children in the
yes, don't
room.
Tell
yeah, exactly,
children.
Exactly, exactly. Now, today we welcome our teenagers because they're in here with us today, I believe. So
it does not apply to
they're
you.
Somewhere, but anyway, that's good.
So from that day on, every day when we got home, the first thing we would do, we would dig out that Bible. We knew exactly when mom and dad would come home, so we made sure it was tucked back by the time they got home. They did not know, and we were just reading this book like, I mean, like we've never seen this before. It was so exciting. We could hardly wait to see what's next and what's next and what's next. It was a little weird when we got, you know, to all the name lists and all that.
Yeah,
like,
you get
okay,
into
that's interesting.
We do Leviticus for quiet time around here.
Okay. Yeah, that gets, sounds like fun.
At night, the night people do, it gets them to sleep. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So we were reading and just being very excited about this book. So one day, one of my classmates at school came up to me and he said to me, you know, Isabella, you kind of look like a nice girl. I really want to share something with you, but I need you to promise not to tell anybody. And what he shared with me was that he was going to a church that was about a mile down the road from our school. We live very close to my school. And he was going there Saturday nights, and they had church for children.
Mm.
And we have never been to church before.
Mm.
We have never even heard of churches around.
Wow.
And this little church looked like a regular house. Nobody knew that it was a church. So he asked me if I would go, and I told him, well, I need to go as dad and make sure that that's okay. And so I asked dad, and he sent me back to ask more questions, and I went back. And so we played this game back and forth a few times, and we found out that children go by schedule. Everybody gets their schedule, so not everybody gets there at the same time, so we would not draw attention.
Okay.
And it's after dark on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So dad finally told me, you can go if your brother goes with you. And he decided to go with me. So we started to go to this little church down the road
mm-hmm.
in the dark on Saturday night
mm-hmm.
By schedule. So we got there, and really all it was about maybe 15, 20 kids and a pastor, and he would read just a children's Bible story and ask who, what, where questions and leave it at that. And everybody went home. No sharing the gospel, no salvation plan. Pastors were not able to allow... They were not allowed to do that. They were not able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to share the gospel or the salvation plan with anybody and there was a spy anywhere around, they would be shot to death
mm-hmm.
on sight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they were afraid to share the gospel, the true meaning of the gospel.
Right.
So we went to the church for quite a while. And I was one of those children that had always the hard questions. I'm a teacher now, so I don't like those type of kids, but, you know, I was one of those. I was one of those that always was like, I had my hand up, like, I have a question about that. But I was reading a lot at home, and my brother and I sometimes even got under the blanket with a flashlight and read, because it's just more exciting.
Right.
And we would read a lot, and I was reading in Romans 12. And in Romans 12, when it talks about do not get so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking, the first few verses of Romans. So I went to church that Saturday, and I told the pastor that I had a question for him, and he kind of looked at me like, okay. So he said, just wait until the end. So I went up to him at the end, and I said to him, well, I've been reading in Romans that it says to not get well adjusted to the culture around us without even thinking, and I think that's what we are doing, because you've been telling us this book is good, there's nothing bad about it. We have not found anything bad about it. So why are we hiding it? It says very clearly there, do not just become adjusted to what everybody tells around you. It's the right thing to do.
And he was thinking, God, why did you bring this one to this particular church, right?
Probably so. So he just told me, you are thinking right, but I need you to be a little bit more quiet about this. And no, he was serious. He was serious because he knew that if people would hear me talk like that, my family could have disappeared. My family could have could be shot to death. You know, I mean, he knew those things very well. Mm-hmm. And I was just a little naive child.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, as you know, we just kept on going. And then when I was 13, 1989, in October, it started to get really, really cold.
Mm.
And I do not like cold at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had an idea, and I went to church that Saturday, and I told the pastor, I have an idea. I said, it's really cold outside, so what I'm thinking is that I'm going to start praying for snow. What do you think about that? So he told me, well, if you're going to ask anybody, you are thinking of the right person. And so I asked him, I said, well, tell me a little bit more about how to pray, because I heard a lot about prayer, but I haven't heard anybody ever pray, so how do I do this? So he told me to just talk to God like he's my best friend, like he's sitting right there next to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see him, and just tell him my heart.
Okay.
So he said, well, my heart right now is that I want snow so I can have fun.
Okay.
Because winter and honesty. Cold is not fun without
right.
snow.
Sure.
It's just gloomy and yuck.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started to pray for snow with a passion.
Mm.
And I prayed and I prayed. I don't know how many times a day. But I prayed for snow, and then October came by, and November came by, and end of November came by, and there was no snow.
Mm.
And this little 13-year-old girl was losing faith, and I went to the pastor, and I said, I really don't think this is working.
Mm.
And I will never forget what he said then. He said, Isabella, you just keep your eyes opened, because God answers prayers, I promise you. But sometimes he does not answer them in the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Or that you imagine it, but just keep your eyes open.
Okay.
He will answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went home, you know, with a new enthusiasm. I said, okay, I think I can do this for a little while longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on praying for snow, and December came by, and there was no snow. And then December 22nd came by, and that was the day when the revolution broke out in Romania, and 400,000 people were shot
right.
to death
yeah.
on the street in the matter of hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my dad actually was at work, having to come through the middle of the town to get home, and we didn't know if we would get home or not. We heard the shots. He did make it home that night, but many people didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very, very gloomy, sad days.
Yes, absolutely.
For us, but for me, the biggest problem was that it was not snowing.
Oh, yeah. Ceausescu was kind of like, you know, a problem and all, but no snow. That was the big deal, right?
Well, they got him. They shot him, so he was gone.
Yep, they got him.
So Christmas was coming. You know, this was just 2 days before Christmas, and then day after Christmas, December 26th, we see people running on the streets. And
mm-hmm.
in Romania, when people run on the streets,
mm-hmm.
you would run, get in line, and then you ask the questions.
Okay. All
because
right.
they were running to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
more than likely,
mm-hmm.
and whatever they had at the grocery store, you did not have it, so you just get there as soon as you can, and then you ask the question, and then you figure out how much of it you want.
Okay.
If you had a say in that.
Right.
Well, most of the time you didn't.
Well, because all the hyperinflation and all that stuff was just kind of just out of control.
That's right.
With all the
That's
stuff
right.
that was going on.
The longest line, by the way, I ever stayed in was 27 hours for bananas.
Wow. Wow. And during that 27 hours, the price probably at least tripled, quadrupled, even more during that period of time?
No, they did not do that, actually. We would stay in line just because they said so, because they said bananas were coming.
They didn't have them yet.
They did not have that. You belong to a grocery store, so the amount of people who could stay in line was limited. Mm. It's kind of like you belong to a doctor's office, you know, and that type of thing. Mm. And all they had in the grocery stores were books on people who belonged there.
Okay.
So we would just stay in line until actually the bananas came, and that's when we would send for mom and dad, say, come in line, because you got as many bananas as many people were standing in line.
Right.
So four of us were standing, we got four bananas.
Mm. Wow.
And they were as green as they could be.
27 hours, 27 hours for four
green
for four
bananas.
Yeah.
But we didn't know they were not supposed to be green.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
We never had bananas before, so we had no idea they were not supposed to be green. But mom and dad, somehow they knew, so when we got home, they put them up on the cupboard, and we were like, really? We stayed 27 hours in line, and you're not going to let us eat them?
We can't eat them for another 27 days?
So my brother and I spent the next 2 days standing on a chair looking at bananas turning yellow. But that day, when people were running, it was kind of confusing because they passed by the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And everybody was thinking, where are they going? Mm. So they ran out in the middle of the town, not so far from us, was the not the middle of the big city, but the middle of the little town that we lived in. Mm-hmm. And everybody was saying, trucks are coming. And trucks were pulling in, and they were lit up. We've never seen lit up trucks before. And one of a sudden, this wave of fear just went through the crowd. What if they open these trucks and they start shooting? Mm. You know, that just happened a few days ago. So, but they opened up the trucks, and smiley people jumped off, and nobody was shooting. And the trucks were filled with colorful boxes.
Wow.
And people just started giving out these boxes to everybody, grown-ups, children, everybody who was there were getting a box. And I was thinking, there's no way. We were just going to get something for nothing. And this lady come by, and she spoke my language. Many of the people didn't who were there, but she spoke my language, and she gave me the box, and I asked her, I said, what do I need to do? And she said, nothing, just take it. It's yours. And I asked her if she's sure, and she told me she's sure. And then she asked me if I had any prayer requests, and it was one of those moments when the Bible just kind of, you know, came on.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yes, if you would please pray with me for snow. And, you know, I learned something very valuable from her that day, because sometimes when our children come to us and they have prayer requests, we think how foolish that is. But it's so important to them. That was the most important thing to me at that point.
Sure.
And she took me seriously, and she knelt down to be down at my level, and she prayed with me right there and then without thinking or laughing at me or making fun of me for snow.
Wow.
And she gave me a hug, and with that, she went on her way to give out more boxes.
Wow.
So here I am, left with my box in my hand, standing there, and everybody around me is opening boxes, and I'm still kind of skeptical, like I surely will have to do something for this.
Well, in communism, you never get something for nothing. As a matter of fact,
right.
It sucks you dry.
That's right, exactly.
It basically takes everything out of you without giving you anything in return. So this was so antithetical to everything that you had ever been conditioned to think about or believe, right?
That's
communism,
right.
Socialism, same stuff. Yeah,
that's
well,
right.
No, almost, but still, same principles.
Plus, here's this colorful box. The best what I had before is gifts wrapped in maybe newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
If they
mm-hmm.
were wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody around me is opening their box, and so I start finally opening my box, and there were many things in my box, and I do not remember, but there was this one thing that I will never forget. And I looked at it, and I had no idea what it was. And then a little boy came by, and he took my hand, and he said, just shake it. So he shook it up, and I looked down.
Oh, man, that's pretty good.
And just 30 seconds after somebody prayed with me for snow, God gave me my snow.
Wow, isn't that something?
And what I learned that day was that God answers prayers, and my pastor's words came to my mind. You know that, Isabella, just keep your eyes open, because he doesn't necessarily answer them the way you want it.
Mm.
And sure enough, I wanted that snow to fall from the sky and be nice and white and pretty. But it was silver in a little plastic something.
Yeah, whatever
that
it
I've
is.
That I've never
yeah.
seen before, you know, and God even had a plan for it to be plastic so it would never break.
And you've got it to this day.
And I right? got it to this day, and I can stand here in front of you and show you God's faithfulness and how he answers prayers, but I could not have in my pocket that snow
wow.
if it was to fall from the sky.
Man.
And you know, that whole winter there was not one snowflake.
Wow.
But I knew that God answers prayers, and I ran back so excitedly the next Saturday to my pastor, and I said, you were so right. He does answer prayers, and he didn't do it the way I thought he would.
Oh,
but
my
really,
goodness.
It was a long road for me from that point on, but I learned a valuable lesson. I never
right.
doubted God again.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
still had a long road in front of me to salvation and fully understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in seventh grade at that point. And 2 years later, just as I was going into high school, Christian high schools opened.
How
because
about
communism
that?
Was over.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I went to Christian high school. Then I went to seminary. I've been teaching for over 11 years since then. And I started off with teaching Bible classes in public schools in Romania.
Wow, isn't that awesome? Yeah.
And now I am a teacher at Gorman Christian Academy just down the road
right.
in Durham.
In Durham. Mm-hmm.
So if you ever cross by exit 182, stop by and say hi.
Yeah, yeah. What grade do you teach?
I teach middle school.
Middle school, yeah.
6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
You can shape them, form them.
Yeah.
Still talk sense into
we
the
We would
head.
Love for you to drive up here on weekends and, like, do that with our middle schoolers on Sunday mornings. Could you do that? We'd love for you to join the team on that.
I don't think my husband would go for that.
You don't think he would? Okay. Well, he can join you. Okay. We got something for him to do, too. But anyway.
But at our school, I want to share something quickly with you.
Yeah.
Do we still have time?
For you, absolutely.
Okay, well, I want to share just a few little things that we do at our school just to encourage you.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
I don't know where. Let me get my cheat sheet out.
Oh, your cheat sheet? Okay.
I do have to have a cheat
oh,
sheet.
That's all right.
Sure
that's
you
no
know
problem.
I'll tell you the right thing.
Yeah.
Here.
I have a cheat
well,
sheet, too.
My little school, we have about, in 2004, that's when I started teaching there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 90 kids.
Okay.
At the school, kindergarten through 8th grade.
Okay.
And the principal at that time, in 2004, started, he wanted us to pack shoeboxes.
Okay.
I've never heard about Operation Christmas Child before. And the music teacher came to me, we are very good friends, and she came to me and she said, hey, would you like to help me with this? I was single at the time, I had all the time in the world. And I was like, sure, I'll help you with it. They knew I would just help with anything, you know, so they would always come to me. So I said, sure, I would help. So here I'm talking with the music teacher about what this ministry is so that we have an idea what to do and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are talking, it dawns on me what happened many years ago.
Wow. Isn't that something?
It dawns on me, hold on a second, I got one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, God put a fire under me.
I bet.
And,
yeah.
And that year, we didn't have a goal. It was kind of just one of those go with the flow. You know, so we had 90 students, and we packed close to 100 boxes. We cannot put our hands on the exact number for some reason.
Yeah.
But then in 2005, we said, okay, we really need to go out for this and do something.
Right.
So we still had 90 students, and we went big. We said, we're going to set our goal for twice as many students we have. So we set our goal for 180. And in 2005, we packed 250 shoeboxes.
Wow, isn't that great? Man.
With 90 students.
Isn't that cool?
Most of them itty-bitty kindergartners.
Yeah, that's beautiful. They loved it, too.
And then in 2006, we were like, okay, that was really big last year. What can we do this year?
I'm looking at her cheat sheet.
So we were people of little faith, and we were standing there, and we said, okay, we're going to set our goal for 251. And so in 2006, God allowed us to pack 486 shoeboxes.
Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Blew us out of the water, and he said, don't you ever be again people of little faith.
Wow.
So I learned that lesson, and in 2007, we set our goal for 500. We had 100 students at that point, so our numbers were a little bit higher.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We had 500. We set our goal for 500, and in 2007, God allowed us to pack 680 shoeboxes.
With the goal of 500?
Yes.
Well, that says a lot about good goal setting, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, Satan works.
Right.
And he put this fear in my heart again, and I said, okay, there's no way we can overdo that one. So we said, I'll go for 681 in 2008. And God allowed us to pack in 2008, 852.
852, so 170 more.
And then last year, said, okay, we really refuse to be people of little faith. But we had 113 students. It was a big deal. The newspaper.
Oh, yeah, 113. Yeah.
Our principal danced on the roof the first day of school because we had 113 students. So we called the newspaper, and they came up with the helicopters and all that. We were in the newspaper everywhere. Gorman Christian Academy has 113 students. So we said, okay, we're going to
the teachers might get paid on time this year, right? Yeah, yeah.
No raise, but hey.
Yeah, right. I know how that is. Believe me, I'm a my wife's a Christian school teacher, too.
So in last year, we went for the big number, 1,000.
Wow.
We said our goal for 1,000, and last year God allowed us to pack 1,158 shoeboxes. So I don't know if you are kind of thinking what I'm thinking, what's next?
Yeah.
But we sat down and we prayed. And I prayed all summer about, okay, I know September is coming and our kickoff is in a week and a half on the 29th. And we need to tell them what our goal is.
Mm.
And I don't want to be, again, a person of little faith because God is way beyond that.
Mm.
And so we are setting our goal at 1, 2, 3, 4.
How about
1,234. So even kindergarten can remember. Just make sure you don't tell the kids they don't know yet.
Good point. That's so cool.
So it's just amazing to see how God works, and He can do things that we cannot.
Yeah.
100 kids are not supposed to be packing 1,100 shoeboxes.
Right. Absolutely. No, you're exactly
and
right.
A little girl somewhere in Romania is not supposed to be getting exactly what she's praying for randomly.
Mm.
It doesn't happen randomly. Mm-hmm. God orchestrates those things.
Mm.
And that is why we emphasize so much that the most important ingredient that you put in your box is your prayer.
Mm. Absolutely.
And we have the kids pray over those boxes when they bring them in, when they dedicate them as a class, when we dedicate them as a school, and when we put them on the truck.
And let me guess, the recurring story every year probably sounds a whole lot like that of a 13-year-old girl in Romania who was there one day in the marketplace and a truck drove up expecting machine guns to arrive and voila, colorful boxes come off.
Actually, it's not.
Oh, really?
All the students know the story because I share with them during
the
year.
Yeah.
So they know that. So actually what happens, it's kind of crazy. So if you want to come by next Wednesday on the 29th, Super Christmas Woman is a very special lady who comes.
Super Christmas Woman?
Yes. She looks pretty much like me.
Okay, yeah.
But she wears a very silly looking Christmas tree costume.
Okay.
And she made a cape that she attached to this costume
that
says on it, Super Christmas Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
So she does anything and everything possible to get everybody excited and off of their seats and up on their feet and ready to go and pack shoeboxes. Flies across the stage, whatever it takes. Humiliating stuff,
sure. But it's geared at children, right?
Absolutely.
Does Super Christmas Woman kind of have, does she ever kind of like come out on weekends and maybe go to churches to help inspire their children to do that?
Actually, on Thursday, I took off early because I went with Operation Christmas Child to South Carolina for a tour.
Uh-huh.
And when I was leaving, the kids told me, are you going to make sure that Super Christmas Woman comes this year? I said, I'm going to South Carolina. I think she's there this weekend. So I'm going to talk to her, make sure that she comes.
Yeah. And, so it's kind of this Hannah Montana thing, right? I mean, you know, I guess just long white wig she wears or something like that.
It's a bit more redemptive.
A bit more redemptive than Hannah. Okay, all right.
And no, last year I was 8 months pregnant when we were kicking off. So the costume is pretty big, but it was still pretty obvious what was going on underneath. And I had children come up to me and say, I know you are Ed. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about.
But now, this year, I assume what you're probably going to do this year, there's going to be a little baby Christmas tree that's going to be carried around by a Super Christmas Woman?
Actually, we did go out and we did get a Christmas tree costume from Build-A-Bear that my son fit into.
Okay. All right. Good.
And,
so you got that covered.
We got that covered.
That's pretty smart.
That's pretty cool.
What? How did you get here? How did you get to the United States?
I came in 2002, about eight years ago, as an au pair.
As a what?
As an au pair. Au pairs are basically live-in nannies. You live with a family and you take care of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Pennsylvania for 2 years. And I got involved with the local church there.
Mm-hmm.
I just came to sharpen up my English a little bit. and learn about the culture and then go home in 1 year and go on my merry way. And God had different plans. I got involved at a church in Pennsylvania. They asked me after the year expired to join the mission team. And I worked with them for a while. And then God really just, my desire always was to teach and to be with children. And that's what my degrees were for. And so I really wanted to teach. And they said, well, what about we help you teach then, if that's where your heart is? And I came to visit some friends that were living in North Carolina, and I was looking at Christian schools. And the principal at the time, he saw my resume, and he called me, I think, every 10 minutes to make sure that I'll get here and for him to talk to me. So, and then at the school, I met my husband, and I kind of got stuck.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, we're glad you did. Stuck is a good way of putting it, I guess, huh?
It's a good stuck.
We're glad. We're so glad for that, man. That's awesome. Well, tell us, Isabella, what we started Operation Christmas Child. I guess I found out this week that we started it back in the Holiday Inn. I didn't even realize that, like in year two, led by a lady named Peggy Parks, who has been with us since almost day one of the church about 14 years ago. Today, she's in probably some of the latter stages of terminal cancer, and a number of our folks regularly go to visit her. But we're kind of, Mike, I don't know, is it okay for me to talk about this now? This year's, Okay, I can't, you can't, okay. This year's Operation Christmas Child drive for integrity is basically being, we're dedicating that to Peggy and her faithfulness over the years, because she's the one who kept it going. And when she came down with cancer a few years ago, she kind of had to bow out a little bit. And to be honest with you, our drives have not been quite as maybe impactful, not all of them, I think, because of that. But she's always been the driving force, the passion behind it. Can you, looking out here, and just know there will be about this many people that will be in the second service today, and knowing it's about probably this many people and maybe twice as many of these who are not going to be here at all today that you won't see but are a part of our family. Just looking out, could you give us a suggestion for a goal this year that we might have? Do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, I do not see this many faces sitting in our sanctuary when we kick off.
Okay. All right.
And we do dare to say 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay. All right.
So I would say at least 2,000.
So you think 2? Did y'all hear that?
I mean, I don't know 2,000
boxes.
Before.
Huh? Actually, I don't either. I don't think we've done quite that. But
we have a number coming from there.
Huh?
2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4? 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow. I figured you would.
Just follow up on us.
I figured you would like that. Yeah, I figured you would like that. Should we?
I think so.
Yeah, but you got a head start. Look at your cheat sheet. No, actually, we started before you did.
I have 119 students this year.
You have 119
students? 119
students. And what your goal is 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes.
What about it? Can we do it? Can we do it?
Yeah.
Now, they're going to beat 1, 2, 3, 4. You know that. Okay, you know they're going to beat it.
We are praying. We are praying without ceasing.
Okay, all right. All right, here's what I want you to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to set a goal in excess of 1, 2, 3, 4 this year. Mike, are you with me? Were you going to set one higher than that? Okay, all right.
I think he wants to go for 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, we might go 2, 3, 4, 5. And so we're going to go for something in excess of 1, 2, 3, 4 this year, okay? And here's what I want you to do. Everybody that is here this morning, you have in front of you the connection card. Okay, you know exactly what I'm going to ask you to do, right? What am I going to ask you to do? Give us your personal commitment on your connection card today with regard to the number of boxes that you are going to pledge to do this year. That's everybody. I know that the connect. You've got the Chris. They've got the information on the box, shoe boxes there, right? That's one piece of information they've got.
Yeah, you've got a brochure in front of you that'll give you recommended items to pack in the shoe box, along with a recommended $7 donation envelope that we encourage you to put into the shoe box. That just helps us cover costs for shipping. that shoebox.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got that. So now keep in mind, for each box, you're looking at $7 for shipping, packing, shipping, and probably about, what are you guys finding nowadays the average cost of packing a shoebox to be?
You know, it's interesting. We had a volunteer team in Raleigh that sent us a little sheet of paper, and they have worked hard and researched this, and they've got down how to pack a shoebox for $3.75.
Whoa.
But I would say on average, you know, you're looking at, you know, depending on what you want to put in the shoebox, $15 to $20. You know, again, our culture, you know, we sometimes are in the accustomed to giving extravagantly. We encourage that pack just a normal size shoebox and just watch what God can do by not packing something big that's just, you know, crammed full of just stuff, but know that, you know, the important means of that shoebox is giving a church, a pastor, a ministry in another country an opportunity to share with the children what that gift represents, and that's the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. And that's the important means of that. So, you know, you're looking at maybe a total investment of $15 to $20, or you can get really creative and go cheaper.
Yeah, you can, and you can be, and there are things you can do. You can send us to help us get more creative if we need to. I mean, for people, you can send us stuff on that, like suggestions and all that good stuff. Because I want us to be able to do that, because, you know, this is, I think what we're asking to do is probably going to be at least double anything we've done before. I think what we're talking about here, which, you know, we kind of thought we were doing real good when we might have hit 500 or 600, and here you go with 113 students hitting those kind of numbers. So anyway,
humble us,
Isabella. Go ahead.
Well, one thing that, you know, I want to mention too is, as you know, Isabella's story and the church and her school, Gorman Christian, is really just a parallel of what our ministry has been able to do over the last now 16 years. We have seen growth every single year in participation. And when you look at the last couple of years, especially with the effects of the economy, and I think almost our expectation of what the economy is going to do. Now, so many people come up to me last year and say, you know, I guess you guys are expecting a decrease in giving this year. Mm-hmm. We said, actually, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We feel like God has mandated an increase for our ministry because of the needs that continue to persist around the world. And we believe it's going to be for God's glory that increase is given. And last year we collected more shoeboxes in the United States and worldwide than we've ever collected since 1993. And so, you know, again, that's not for our glory. That's for God's glory. We can't take credit for that. You know, that's a movement of God among the church in the U.S. and the other giving countries.
Well, I'm going to brag on our folks a little bit, because we found this year that, you know, obviously everybody keeps saying, oh, the economy is going to turn around. Yeah, right. Ah, it hadn't happened yet. And so we kind of realized, you know, this is the new normal for us, and the maturity of our people, which I'm really appreciative of. I think that they have kind of accepted that, and we've seen that our per capita giving this year has actually gone up, and in the midst of all that, and that's to applaud you and thank you for your willingness and your faithfulness. But we're going to ask you to dig a little deeper this year, obviously. Now, some of you, your children are going to be involved in projects too, where they're going to be asked to do shoeboxes for their schools, maybe, or depending on where they go, that kind of thing. What's that? Well, we do. I mean, we do a packing party, I think. That's something that our children's ministry does. And so we will probably have to do multiple parties this year. And so that's the good thing. Let me go back to what I was going to ask you to do. On your connection card, everybody knows what it is. How many of you have already written it on there? You've already written your number. Okay, great. You've already written your number. What I'd like for you to do is go to the upper right-hand corner, rewrite it, and just put the number and circle it. Okay? My number, my connection card today is going to say 50 boxes from the Wren family. So there, I challenge you, all right? There's a challenge. If somebody wants to match that, that would be great. I would appreciate it. But you know what? You don't have to do that. You do whatever God has called you to do and what you think that He is wanting you to do. And that's what you need to do. And what we might do, Mike Ward, our missions pastor. Yes, Mike. One more box for Peggy Parks. That's a great point. And not that Peggy's going to go to Peggy. She would not want that. She wants it to go to an extra child, to a child somewhere who otherwise may not receive one. So, you know, I just want to thank you in advance because, you know, and I can tell you one of the things that Isabella, what does she know? So, and we're in John chapter 6 right now, and we're going to begin looking in depth next week at a story what happened after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus. Matter of fact, you have the outline in your What's Up today, and so you know that we were planning on doing that today, but Isabella was pretty interesting, so I kind of got engrossed in her story. And so we're going to put that off on that, but we're going to kind of intro it a little bit, and I want us to discuss that a little bit. When Jesus sent, after the feeding of the 5,000, he sent the disciples across. Remember what happened? And he was, you know, it was funny because the kind of context of the story was, I really feel that he did that because the disciples had such a direct hand in the feeding of the 5,000 that he was trying to keep them humble. And so he goes away to pray because he's worn out. We kind of talked about that, right? That leaders always do what? They practice self-management, and they have a spiritual regimen that they need to go through. And so what happened was Jesus sent them out, you know, and they're out there. They're out there about 6 to 9 hours, something like that, 3 in the morning. This horrific storm came. Now, it was kind of weird that after 6 or so hours, they were in the middle of the sea. Because understand that this sea, the Sea of Galilee, was basically a lake. That's what it is. There was only 7 miles across. And it took them that long just to get halfway across. They're out in the middle, as far away from any shore as they could be, right? And the storm comes. The waves are buffeting, the Bible tells us, and all. And so what do the disciples do? They freak out. They freak out, right? And so then all of a sudden, as they're freaking out, who do they see walking across the water? They see Jesus, right? And so Jesus says, hey, guys, it's me. All things are okay. But even then, the Bible says they were what? They were still afraid. Terrified is the language. That's the way it, even when they knew, they were still terrified of what was going on. So I'm going to tell you, some of you, you're going to walk away today and you will have put a number on your connection card, and you're going to walk away and at some point it's going to dawn on you and you're going to be terrified. You're going to think, boy, did I get caught up in the emotion of that story today. Boy, isn't that Mike Ward one of the best manipulators in the world? Bringing her in and getting all of my emotions up and made me circle this big number on my card. Well, can I challenge you that it's a very good possibility that that was not Mike Ward at all, but rather it was the Holy Spirit of God that encouraged you to do that? Because it's in moments like this when we can be encouraged and we can recognize that as we sing around here, that nothing is impossible, that all things are possible. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask the team when they come back to sing that song again, just to kind of bring a close to that piece, right? This piece right here. Is that okay, Stephen? Yeah. And you know, I want us to recognize that indeed with God all things are possible. And this story. Listen, folks. I believe that there are multiple Isabella McMillans out there. And what was your maiden name? What was your last name when you were
Banku.
There? Banku. Banku, okay. There are multiple Isabella Bankus out there who God is priming, who is prepping, and part of his plan for them is to receive a shoebox that will give them a little bit wider glimpse of the kingdom of God. And once that little wider glimpse of the kingdom of God comes about, guess what then happens? There becomes a wider glimpse of what their part in the kingdom of God is all about. And you're going to see impact through those boxes, through those things that you pack, and through those things that we pack here. Maybe you can even give money if you want to. We'll figure out an average so that if you want to just say, you know what, I'd just soon let all of our children pack those. You know, and Chris, we'll figure that. Maybe you can help us with that too. The equivalency of a box, what you would want to donate, and I'm sure that Rick and all his plucky band of children's workers will figure out a way to hold multiple. Yeah, you call them plucky band. Yeah, he calls
them. No one around the state. Right?
Chris, you ought to hear what he was saying about you when he found out you were coming today. So you need to talk to him afterwards. But anyway. That's a good point. That's a great point. But one of the reasons we're starting earlier this year is because, you know, the shopping experiences, do not wait till the last minute. Do not wait. As a matter of fact, I'm going to challenge Rick and his team to hold a packing party, one packing party during the month of October. Okay, Rick? That means you've got to stay on us to get the shopping trips started early so that your kids, because see, Rick's going to promote something really big here. It's going to be really cool and really nice for his kids. And the last thing that Rick wants to happen or that you want to happen is for your kid to go to a packing party and have nothing to pack. Because we do what? We wait until the last minute. Now, Rick understands procrastination, believe me, okay? Rick understands exactly what that looks like, and he is a crusader against it. Rick, any?
I am. Look, guys, don't you like me? If you haven't got time to go give, to go shop yourself, we've got ladies who would love to do that for you. So if you want to just add it to your time today, designate the difference so that we can take it, and I've got some ladies right now that are ready to go. So again, don't do like me.
The ladies are going to get Rick stuff, by the way. So just join him, right? That's the way to do. Absolutely.
One reminder, do not buy snow globes.
Don't buy snow globes. Talk to us about that.
Do not buy snow globes. They are not allowed anymore because they have liquid in them. Mm-hmm. Regulations are very different. Mm-hmm. I know many people who get excited, and I had one lady in our church who came back with 20 snow globes. She was so excited.
Wow.
And she got them from the dollar store, which you cannot return. You got it. It's yours. You can't return it to the dollar store. So we made the best of it. We ended up going to a nursing home, and I went from room to room. I shared my story with the people who were there, and I gave them a snow globe.
Gave them the globes.
But don't buy snow globes. They can't go in there. So make sure you look at the list what not to put in the shoebox.
Yeah.
It's very important because then they will have to take it out in the processing center.
Good
if
point.
If it's guns or camouflage or anything liquid. So pay attention to that.
Yeah. Okay, good. Finish a little story, kind of introduction, real quickly. When they saw Jesus coming, something happened before he calmed the sea. There was one dude in the boat who tends to stand out among the disciples, right? Just a little. And so, what does he say? He says, "Is that you?" Yeah, it's me. If it's you, what did he say, Dave? Tell me to come to you. And so Peter, what does he do? He doesn't like jump in the water. He steps off the boat. And his eyes, as he's doing this, are where? On Jesus. And so he's got his eyes on Jesus, right? Like, y'all have your eyes on Jesus this morning when you put that astronomical number on your card. I want you to know that. All right, that's where your eyes are this morning. Okay, they're not on Chris, not on Isabella, certainly not on Bud. Even when I'm teaching, they're not on me. So, anyway, I noticed y'all. But anyway, and so what happened? He walked successfully on the water toward Jesus. And you know what happened when he, this is the key, when he got so close, when he was almost there to him, maybe as close as I am to you, Chris, I don't know, what began to happen? He began to sink. Because what did he do? What did he notice? Started looking around at what, Ken? He saw the waves and the wind. He began to focus on the obstacles. He began to focus on the reality that says, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And he took his eyes off the Savior. And Jesus kind of reached out his hand, and what did Jesus say to him? Why did you doubt me? Now, some people look at that and say, oh, Jesus, like, why did you doubt me, Peter? You worm, you scumbag, you bottom feeder. Personally, I don't think that's the way it was. I think that Jesus was absolutely enjoying the moment, and I think he was so proud of Peter. Because he, among all those who were his followers, there. They've been following him a couple of years now. And so Jesus is saying, man, somebody's finally beginning to get it. He didn't quite make it all the way. Now, that's not to say that it's okay for us to think, okay, well, I put this number on my shoebox, okay, and it's okay for me. God's still going to be pleased if I give half of that. No, I don't think that's the way it is. because you're not exactly walking on water with this. Let's face it. They're not exactly the same magnitude, okay? But the point is that Jesus wants you to make it all the way to Him. You see, Jesus gave us the story about Peter walking toward Him, not so that we would also settle and look at the waves, but so that we would not look at the waves, so that we would not notice the wind, so that we would make it all the way, keeping our eyes on Jesus. So I want to ask you, is that something that we're going to be able to do? Is that something you're going to be able to do today? Chris, last word.
All those years that I spent coming to Innovative Church Community on Mondays, I've always just admired and wondered, how decisions get made in Integrity Community Church. And this morning, now I know.
It's kind of dictatorial, right? No, actually, you all made it. Y'all the ones, we asked you.
Andy Stanley made mention in a book that, at any given time, you're on average about 80% sure of a lot of decisions that you make. Because, as you read through the Gospels, actually as you read through the epistles and the writings of Paul, you see evidence of a guy who struggles with doubt. 80% sure on average, doubt does creep in, but, stick to Buzz's point, keeping our eyes, fixed on Jesus, setting, God-sized goals so that it's not us that receive credit in the end, it's God who receives credit. So know that, that shoebox that you packed this year, remembering Isabella's story and her face and the image and the picture of a child who God can use simple and foolish things like a shoebox to change a life and to change the world. Mm-hmm. We don't limit God in such ways. And so it is our joy to be able to see these shoeboxes get into the hands of children, to partner with churches. That's what I love as a pastor, as a church planner, guy who's been on staff, and I love the church. I believe that God has called the church, and He has set the church to redeem the world to Himself. With that, we partner with churches all over the world. It's not Franklin Graham, it's not Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child who are flying into these locations. It's churches that we're partnering with in other countries who understand and know the needs of their community, mm-hmm. who are desperate for tools and resources that they can put in the hands of families and children in order to share with them the greatest news of all. And that's mm-hmm. what these shoeboxes are doing. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. Remember mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. It's not just the material, shoebox. God is using this ministry. He's using that tool, and He's going to use that tool in a powerful way so that there are more stories like Isabella's.
That's awesome. That's great stuff. Thank you guys for being here today. Our team's going to come up. I'm going to have them. We're going to show you a video real quick, and while they're coming up, around our Crazy Love movement right now. But first, we're going to pray and just ask that God will bless the time and the commitment that you all have made. And then we're going to run that video, and we're going to hear from our team again, our music team, as they close us out with at least one song. And let me remind you, too, that there is a Celebrate Recovery-sponsored brunch, I believe. Is that right, ladies and gentlemen? In the conference center today, and they would love for you to come by and grab some breakfast foods. Maybe you guys certainly. We're going to let these guys go first as our guests of honor today. And my mom made a breakfast casserole, and she's a killer. She's good. She really does this good. You will certainly enjoy that. So let's pray and just ask God to bless this whole thing that we're doing this year. God, thank you for the children that are going to be touched. Lord, you know who they are. You know who the Isabellas are around the world, who you have great and mighty plans for. And God, you have great and mighty plans for all of them. God, we just pray that you'll help us to be faithful in helping put them in positions where they can realize that and they can get the message. God, drive home the point to us today that we as the senders have such an incredible opportunity for impact to change a life. God, that it's life that you're changing, but you're giving us the opportunity to have a part in it. So God, may we humbly come to you and may we humbly focus on how we can be a part of what you are doing. God, I pray that you'll forgive us for the times when we ask you to just simply bless what we've already decided we want to do. Lord, that's a prayer that I have to utter just about every day. And so, God, I lift it up now just as an awareness point for our people that you will help us, Lord, to really make the right decisions, to do the obedient things, and to be who you have called us to be in a world that needs you so desperately. And so we lift up this movement today. God, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's a good number. God, we pray that we will see miracles that will cause that number to be blown out of the water. But God, give us the faith to keep our eyes on you, that even when there come times that we don't, you know, maybe we fear it a little bit, we think, oh my goodness, what did I do? God, help us to remember what's really at stake here. What's really at stake. Thanks for your love and your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Watch this video on Crazy Love.
We have a small group that meets every other Monday. We started off 2 years ago with 8 or 9, and now we're up to anywhere from 15 to 21. And it is a small group of young adults that keep us all laughing and having a good time. It's a family. They're a church within a church. They keep each other accountable. There's not a day goes by that I don't think about them or pray about them. Our most important time is probably when we have prayer praise. And they've gotten where they really share their struggles and who they are, where they are in their walk. And I think Bill and I are always encouraged by how strong these young adults are. They are always wanting to pursue more and learn more. Not too long ago when I needed to go to the doctor and she didn't have a ride, and we posted out in front of the small group, and boom, 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 she was taken care of and had a ride, and there was a connection made. But we're just a community of learners. We're just learning and caring for one another and going through, you know, jobs and school, you know.
We apologize for the technical difficulties.
Good morning. Thank you, Isabella and Chris, for sharing that story. That's such a faith-building story, and I really appreciate that. It really touched my heart. I would like to read a little scripture to you. Matthew 17:20. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Just a faith as big as a mustard seed. Think about that. Thank you.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible.
right. Good. Have a great rest of the day. Don't forget the brunch in the conference center. Don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards, which have a big, nice number on them encircled in the right. And our tithes and our offerings in the boxes in the back. Don't forget to leave those. God bless. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.